And we decided that there was a sporting chance it was the radar equipment we were looking for.
That was the voice of Dr. Reginald Jones, and you are listening to the Armada EW podcast with your host Tom Withington at the controls. Dr. Jones was the Assistant Director of Intelligence for Science at the UK's Air Ministry during the Second World War. He was instrumental in the development of electronic warfare during that conflict. And it's fitting that his name lives on in the R.V. Jones Institute. This non-for-profit organisation is, in its own words, dedicated exclusively to excellence in electromagnetic spectrum operations. We're delighted to be joined today by Melinda and Steve Tarangio. Melinda is the chair of the Institute's Board of Directors and the Institute's Executive Director, and Steve is Dean of the Institute. Thank you both very much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Tom.
Absolutely. Thank you.
What prompted you to name the Institute after Dr. Jones?
We were initially motivated to seek out a namesake that was international, reached well beyond the United States, because we believe the ultimate mission and purpose of the Institute will be global. So we went out searching and found Dr. Jones, the British physicist who is famous for the first electronic warfare countermeasure for the Knickerbein, which was the Germans' airborne radar guidance system. And he designed a countermeasure and therefore was perhaps not formally dubbed, but in some circles dubbed the father of electronic warfare. So we felt he would be an exceptional namesake for our international institute. And then in the same vein as him being a Brit, we also, the inspiration for the institute came from a very prolific member of the Association of Old Crows, Mr. John Clifford, who served for the better part of 40 years promulgating the same message that the Institute has taken on, which is that we need to treat the spectrum holistically and be very aware of its vulnerabilities. So we think it's very fitting that both of them were Brits, and that's how we decided to name the Institute RVJ Institute.
Talk to me a little bit about the Institute's mission and what makes it unique.
The Institute's mission is twofold. First, we sincerely need to make it known to the world that we have a problem, a lurking, invisible enemy in the spectrum, if you will. Although the military may only consider it an enemy, the rest of the public users may consider it a nuisance, but this is a condition of diminished capacity. Whether that diminished capacity arises from outright attack or denial in a military form, or whether it results from inadequate planning of utilization of the spectrum, we are still approaching a very critical situation. Right now, the spectrum is allocated by ownership to various entities, be they military or industrial or commercial, as you well know. And so everyone at the moment is enjoying their portion of the spectrum, except the US military, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And so each entity is doing its best to maximize capacity within their ownership bands. And that makes sense. However, you fractured a problem that is otherwise contiguous, and this is not a good idea. So the problem is that demand will exceed capacity in a very short time. By 2030, it is expected there will be 5 billion users with an average of 10 devices on the Internet of Things. And this onslaught of
up to 100 billion devices
is going to hit capacity very soon. So we need to start working together. These efforts in everyone's swim lane are not going to be enough. And I mentioned before that the US military is the first to suffer this issue. So it's almost as if it's a microcell of what the bigger issue will be. It's experience congestion, contest, constraint, outright denial and attack. And so the Institute has chosen to focus on the US Department of Defense first. And then after we raise awareness, make it known to the world that we have a problem, after we raise awareness, we are going to lead the charge on solving that problem. And we're going to do it holistically because the Institute is a not-for-profit public charity, so we are able to have difficult discussions with impunity. And that's what needs to happen. We need to reformulate the spectrum, not in swim lanes and in ownership, but in a concerted effort. And that's the mission of the Institute. We also believe we're the only entity in the world looking at this problem holistically. I hope your listeners can correct me if I'm wrong. We like to believe we did our homework. We are, as a public charity, we have no allegiance to fiscal or political or industrial intentions. And therefore, we modeled the Institute as after a world-class center of excellence. And centers of excellence have very unique features in that primarily they remain unattached to industrial goals like profit and things like that. So we can pull experts out of their day jobs and have them have discussions about the solutions we need without them feeling the stress of complying with their day jobs. And I liken the center of excellence model to solving cancer, right? It would not have been prudent to assign every hospital in the world with an assignment to cure cancer. They came together under a universal center of excellence to solve cancer. So we really need to start looking at the electromagnetic spectrum this way, and that is what the Institute is going to do.
Tell me a little bit about some of the work the Institute's done to date.
So in the spirit of raising that awareness I spoke to, thankfully we've had several major speaking engagements this year. And in fact, in just a couple of days, I'm going to be participating in the National Spectrum Consortium's Tech Talk on the Internet of Military Things. And then just this month, your comrades in NATO at the Joint Air Power Competency Center published their conference read-ahead proceedings, and the Institute was published twice. So I invite you to go and read our two articles by consulting our webpage, rvjinstitute.org. And we've also made announcements to that on Facebook and LinkedIn. And then, of course, Tom, we are also mired in the rite of passage of standing up an institute that will eventually serve the globe. We are raising funds, rvjinstitute.org. We are also establishing an online presence. Clearly, this is one of the most important steps we can take right now to raise awareness, is to have a virtual brick and mortar landing page be something that everybody returns to again and again, seeking information, education, knowledge about what this problem is. And then finally, we have had a few chances to meet in person this year and will also later. And so we're establishing awareness collateral that we can actually take with us to shows, but also post on the website. But mostly we believe we're launching the world's first awareness campaign on this very significant global, large-scale global issue of access to the electromagnetic spectrum.
Where do you see the Institute moving in the future?
We're going to raise awareness, and then we simply must impart a basic education on the electromagnetic spectrum to every user. People aren't taught RF spectrum technology, engineering, and Fourier transforms. So the Institute is working to distill those messages for many different audiences at many different competency and comprehension levels. And then after we check for acceptance and comprehension, we are moving out. And the first thing we're doing is, of course, supporting the U.S.'s Department of Defense. As I mentioned earlier, that's a microcell of the bigger problem. And it's also happening right now to our U.S. military, both CONUS, Continental U.S., with our test and training abilities. Because of the sell-off of spectrum, it's really limited our department's ability to operate. And then, of course, we have all of the situation if we are an away game. And so to move out on the educational piece, just this month, we were asked to stand up a page on our website for U.S. Congress to inform our legislative body on what the spectrum is and how the budget is being allocated for different programs. This is just very, very complex. And they need support, and they've consulted us as a public charity to do that. And so we're working on that. And then we did build the Institute on three significant pillars. The first is we simply must preserve prior EW studies. The conclusions that were reached in those studies are critical to informing an institutionalized basis of knowledge. So we're going to be building an electronic knowledge hub in the cloud that will house at least all of the unclassified. And then, God willing, the interest will burgeon and we will have the ability to move to classified in the cloud. That's a little more complicated. Secondly, we are keen on preserving the aging out, retiring out population of experts, right? Our Cold War experts are fading into the distance and getting jobs in other areas. We need their expertise informing our basis of knowledge. So we are going to be assembling a cadre of experts and cataloging their skills. And finally, for those academic buffs out there, I think you're one of them, Tom, we are going to be establishing a theoretical framework and conceptual frameworks to conduct scholarly research on the scientific study of electromagnetic spectrum operations. We want to turn this field into a bona fide scientific field of study. And if I have the privilege, I'm going to call Hollywood and leverage some pop culture. And we would love to have a Tron movie made that will inspire young people to take on a career in electromagnetic spectrum operations and something similar to Top Gun that managed to bring pilots to the military in droves. We really do need an awareness campaign that perhaps straddles the whole pop culture. So those are some of the initiatives we're up to. It's a pretty busy time.
We're big fans of electronic warfare in pop culture here at Armada. So that's definitely right up our street. And actually, Melinda, you've helped me segue quite neatly into my final question for you, which is, how can members of the EMSO community get involved? Can they reach out to yourselves? What's the best way for them to do that?
Members in the EMSO community, I'm guessing you probably already are believers. You know this problem is coming. You know the Department of Defense is suffering from it, and perhaps several NATO country militaries are suffering from it. So join us in our crusade to promulgate this very important message to everyone you work with, decision makers, legislators, leaders of technology institutions and research institutions. Make everyone know that we need to come together to solve this issue. And for those doubters out there, or skeptics or denialists, oh, we'll never have a capacity issue. Let me say that it really isn't prudent to fracture a large-scale contiguous problem like this and expect us to be able to move on with impunity. We do need to come together, and an organization that isn't tied to any particular interests need to be running the show. So consider joining our crusade by a donation. And also, of course, we are welcoming EMSO experts, rvjinstitute.org, cadre of experts. Please sign up. It's very simple. And we will look forward to having you in our distinguished cadre. That would be fantastic. And I'm going to turn it over to Steve for just a minute to see if there's anything to add about how to join the campaign.
One additional option, as we move toward getting back to normalcy and hopefully travel, is the Association of Old Crows annual convention is scheduled for 29 November through 2 December, I believe, in Washington, D.C., here in the U.S. And the RVJ Institute will have a booth on the exhibit hall floor. And we would love for you to stop by and say hello and sign up to be part of our cadre of experts. Melinda and I will both be there, along with a number of our board members, and we'd be happy to talk to you about what RVJ Institute is all about.
Steve, Melinda, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today. Obviously, if you'd like to find out more about the R.V. Jones Institute, then visit their website, which you can find at www.rvjinstitute.org. That's all we've got time for today, but don't forget there is more electronic warfare news and analysis at www.armadainternational.com/electronic-warfare. Thank you very much for listening, and bye for now.